Welcome back to the final episode of a community conversation with Dr. Duana Hardy on forgiveness. Listen, if you found any value in this conversation, please do not keep it to yourself. Share it with someone else to help them begin their journey to purposeful living. Be inspired, be empowered, and be educated. Let's listen.
We want retribution. We want somebody to pay for our pain. Mm-hmm. We want somebody to pay. We want somebody to be held accountable to the offenses that have come to us. Mm-hmm. We want somebody to pay the piper. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is, are you willing to pay the piper for your offenses? Mm-hmm. And so the cognitive dissonance comes in. You want others to pay, but you won't not hold yourself accountable for the same payment.
Right.
And thus, you got to create a two-tier system of what forgiveness is. Mm-hmm. One, you give it out transactionally. Two, you decide whether or not it is worth your time to even think about what the person did to you, and you're just going to let it go. It's false piety because you're always thinking about it. And third, you actually don't even care. You're like, I hate them. It's over. It's a wrap. And I'll never forgive them and keep it pushing. So that's one tier. The second tier is that you actually submit yourself to God and you allow Him to heal your heart. And your healing comes through Him forgiving your offenses. Your healing comes through you acknowledging that you are human, just like your offender, and that they too deserve to be let go and absolved of their offense, just like you. And then the reconciliation piece is necessary for you, the offender, and for the one who was offended. But we don't want that. We want the secret power of holding on to resentment. You know something? We actually want, it's a secret power. I can hold on to this and no one would ever know. I can smile and look pretty because I get to be a martyr for Jesus. And it simply isn't true. You are creating an environment for the root of forgiveness to, the root of bitterness to grow into your life. That's what resentment does. It creates the environment for this resentment to continue to shield you from actually dealing with what happened to you. And when I say what happened to you is everybody on the planet has been offended. Everybody. And because of this, we, as children, right, we could have been offended by our abusive parents. And then what do? We become adults. And now we basically model that experience in some form or fashion. It may not be the way our parents did it to us, but unless we acknowledge what has happened to us by way of our parents, and I don't mean back in 1942, my parents did X, Y, Z to me, and now I'm feeling some kind of way. So now I can do what I want to do. No, because what's going to happen is when we do not acknowledge what has happened to us by our parents, we actually repeat those behaviors. And we feel justified in repeating those aberrant behaviors. And he says, well, I'm never going to act like my parents. You're right. You may not actually do exactly what they did, but you're going to have some aberrant behavior that's going to manifest. And you're going to be just like them, an offender. But the difference between, no, it ain't be a difference. Because I guarantee you, if your parents actually thought about why they abused you, it will be because they were abused themselves. And thus the cycle continues. And so what I'm recognizing in my own life is that I saw the abuse that happened in my family. And then I saw how, again, I cycled some of that stuff myself as a parent in a whole different way than how my parent did it toward me. But it was still, it was just as destructive. And it wasn't until, what, 3 decades and some change when the light came on by way of the Holy Spirit that this root of bitterness is killing you. This root of bitterness is at the core of the family dynamic called the marriage that was so out of pocket for what God intended it to be. So somebody in the family has to do the work. And what I'm finding is because I'm doing the work, I'm modeling it for my family members. And I'm seeing the fruit therein. Because now, not even saying a word about what's happening to me, it's happening to me. Because they're seeing, wow, she forgave. She released him from liability. She acknowledged her wrong and released herself from the liability in terms of her relationship with God. Reconciliation has happened between she and God. Reconciliation has happened between she and her husband. And now my children and my husband have all reconciled. Our family was splintered and broken, and now we're not. We're on the mend. Did it happen overnight? Absolutely not. It is happening. It was a process to get broken, and it's a process to be reconciliated. Right. And we're in the process of reconciliation because we have all decided, let 1942 be 1942.
Right.
Acknowledge the pain, acknowledge the corruption, and acknowledge it was wrong. It was wrong. All of it was wrong. Your reasonings, your excuses, it was wrong. And it is punishable. And that nobody gets away with anything. That's why God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And before that part of that scripture, he says, do good to them that will harm you.
Right.
Bless those that will curse you. And you're thinking, what? Because he said, vengeance is mine. Nobody's getting away for anything. So for every offense that we put into the universe, yes, we can go to God. We can ask for forgiveness. We can acknowledge that it was wrong. We can do the changing. But for every offense that we do, God does forgive us. But that's a seed that was planted. And for every seed that is planted, there's going to be a harvest, right? You go. So if we thought about that before we offend somebody, it would change the whole landscape.
Right.
If you knew for every offense, there's going to be a sowing and reaping that's going to happen, it would change the way we interact with one another.
Right. Right.
And so because we don't think like that, that's why forgiveness is so hard. Because again, we believe that if you hurt me, I have to get you back. I'm either going to get you back, or I'm going to hold you in contempt, but somehow you owe me. But then when we go to God, please forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, you know, beg, all that kind of stuff. And that's why he says, to the degree that you forgive others, I will forgive you. But we don't take that scripture, you know, we pick and choose the scriptures you want to do. But he's very clear about that. To the degree that you forgive, I'm going to forgive you. So do you. Isn't that something? He says, I demonstrated exactly what it looks like. But if you decide to be little g, you know, little g God, cool. In your kingdom, I'm going to hold you accountable to your kingdom standards. So to the degree that you forgive, I'm going to forgive you. So if we think about that, are you willing to put your kingdom up against God's kingdom? Are you willing to put up what you think versus the mind of God? Are you willing to take the risk of standing before the Almighty Living God with what you think, with what you feel regarding forgiveness, believing that your, I'm going to say, understanding is going to make him change his mind. Mm-hmm. It's ludicrous, but there we go.
Right.
There we are. We, you know, I can speak for myself. I've actually thought I'm going to change his mind. He's going to do it my way, only to find out he's not. And not only is he not, I'm going to see the folly in my own thinking. I'm going to see the folly in me going my own way. I'm going to see the folly in where I came up short. Mm-hmm. Conversely, if I do it his way, I'm going to have the abundant life that he talks about. I have never been more freer in my life than this period right now. Yeah. Mentally, emotionally, and physically, bar none, this is the best I've ever been in my entire existence on the planet. Mm-hmm. My outlook, my perspective, my viewpoint on life is heavenly. I wake up with a smile on my face every day. I go to bed with a smile on my face every day. I'm throughout my day with a smile on my face. And I'm not saying my circumstances are sunshining and rosy. It's just being in the flow of what God is talking about. Mm-hmm. I've never experienced it to this. Mm. And I've had some high times in God. I've had some really wonderful experiences. But this right now, having understood that root of bitterness is out of me now, mm-hmm. and I am free to move about the cabin of life to the degree that I'm moving now, I will, the Lord says the same, I will never go back. Mm-hmm. You know, by the grace of God, I will never go back to that. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I will never go back to being alienated with God, leaning into my own understanding, acknowledging me instead of him. That atheistic living, mm-hmm. I will not go back to that, because now I understand that to be forgiven is freedom. To forgive is freedom. To be forgiven is joy. To forgive is joy. To be forgiven is bar none, life, joy, satisfaction. And to forgive is life, joy, satisfaction. I no longer have to be imprisoned in my mind, rehearsing over and over what was done to me.
Right.
I used to, what I call, vomit up the resentment. On a dime, I could be able to tell you anything and everything, that every offense that ever was done to me, on a dime. Blah, 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 it would just come out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was just me sharing my experience. Mm-hmm. All I was doing is rehearsing and regurgitating the maladies, right? That's all I was doing. I was churning them.
And infecting other people. And we don't realize
There you go. Infecting other people. Infecting other people. And so what is interesting about this is, literally, I have to go, what did I divorce him for again? I literally have no recollection of the stuff that I was just vomiting a year ago.
Yeah.
I go, why did I divorce him?
Yeah.
I know I had a good reason. I know I had some reasons. I used to just bleh it out. Mm-hmm. I have none.
Right.
You know, and when a thought comes to me, mm-hmm. now it's like, wow, that was crazy. That was a trip. Mm-hmm. Not only did I survive that, I'm thriving, and I forgive him, them, they. Mm-hmm. Because for every thought that comes to me about somebody else, I can bring up a thought about myself. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So what I do, and that's what I do now, if a thought comes up about somebody else, an offense somebody did, I bring up an offense that I did. I'm like, we cool. We're cool. Because the forgiveness that I want from God, I'm giving it carte blanche to everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I don't get to rehearse over and over again. Because if I'm gonna talk about what happened to me, I'm gonna talk about what I did to me mm-hmm. as I did it to God. Mm-hmm. And so they cancel out each other. So what is it to talk about? Let's just be happy in Jesus, right? Let's just roll with Jesus. Because if we're gonna go on the offense tip, who can win that? Mm-hmm. If we're gonna rehearse something, do I really wanna rehearse my stuff? Do I really wanna bring up my shortcomings, my failures, my mistakes? Do I really want that? No, I don't. Christina Aguilar has a song that says, I am beautiful. And one of the lyrics, it says, mistakes are beautiful. Mistakes are beautiful. That's how I view them now. Mistakes are beautiful. Mm-hmm. Mistakes are beautiful mm-hmm. because I'm going to learn something from it.
Right.
I'm going to have a greater awareness from it. I'm going to have a new perspective from it. So mistakes are beautiful. So in every situation, me going forward, I am going, by the grace of God, to be aware of the reaping and sowing that happens.
Right.
Secondly, I'm going to be aware that when I do make a mistake, when I do offend, quickly mm-hmm. apologize, quickly make amends.
Right.
And change. Mm-hmm. Change that attitude. Change that caustic speech.
Right.
Change that bad attitude. Mm. I feel like they're embers that come and they're trying to land and create a fire. Put those embers out before they even get good. Mm-hmm. Did you damage and destruction? Mm-hmm. And if I decide to go completely left, understand you went completely left, make amends, clean it up, and then unpack what made me go completely left without even putting brakes on. Mm-hmm. And I can always go back to, I was justified. Mm-hmm. I was justified. That bitterness root took root and defiled many. There you go. Mm-hmm. So now I know now. If I go left, right, all that, okay. And then how did I go left? But because I just didn't want to hear it. I was feeling some type of way. Oh, okay. So now many have been defiled. Mm-hmm. And I have to, and now it's up to me to take care of it. So again, God is amazing. I mean, he's amazing. And so, you know, my ministry going forward is to continue to give God's word in whatever form or fashion that he wants that to be given to the people in my Oikos concentric circle of influence. And then in my ministry of counseling, this is at the core of it right here. And I didn't know going forward. I knew I was going to be a counselor. I knew, but I didn't know what was going to be my niche, if you will. What was going to be, what am I offering to the world? And it's this forgiveness counseling, if you want to call it. It's forgiveness counseling. Mm-hmm. It's looking at unforgiveness and recognizing how it is the chief paradigm, the chief seed that is basically, its tentacles are just broad and deep, and it's just destroying life after life, and generational curses are just running amok. Mm-hmm. Because of unforgiveness and all that it entails. So I just hope, I'll say this, not even hope, I'm expecting God's word to prevail. The Bible says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains his goodness upon you, or rains his mercy upon you. So if that's the case, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap mercy, break up your fallow ground. The fallow ground is that we have to look at this root of bitterness that has now been hidden and it's been concreted over with resentment. We have to break it up. We have to break up that ground that where nothing is growing, that is good, nothing that is bringing forth life. We have to break it up so that what that ground can aerate, and now good, it becomes good soil now, And now that good soil can now have the seeds of righteousness. And then he's going to come and rain. He's going to pour, you know, he's going to pour upon that good soil righteousness. And that righteousness is going to produce this good fruit that is lasting, that is not just temporary. It's going to be good fruit. And it's going to continue to grow and grow and grow and expand. So that's my ministry, to just as God gave me an opportunity to see, to help others see, and to help people have good gardens, to abandon the old gardens and create a good garden where much grows and much flourishes, and that other people can come to your garden and grow as well. Mm-hmm. That is not just a garden for you to eat from. It's a garden for others. And that in doing so, with all of us having gardens, all of us eating good, then emotionally, mentally, and physically, we will be spiritually safe, healthy, and sound in Jesus' name.
Wow.
When you rehearse it, when you regurgitate it in your mind, you keep remembering what was said, what was done to you, you will never, never breach that divide. You will never reconciliate. You will never be whole. You will never allow yourself to be free, because you are imprisoned with these thoughts. Yeah. You're imprisoned with the hate. You're imprisoned with the bitterness, the anger, because how could they do that to you? Because you were so good to them. And all that may be true, but where were you when you did that to the person who can say the same thing about you?
Right. That's right.
And that's when we become one-dimensional. Well, I have a billion reasons why I did what I did. I can tell you 1,000 reasons for why I acted the way I did. But
everybody has reasons.
Everybody got a reason.